This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Here are the headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. Vice President Dick Cheney complained today about what he described as Russia's illegitimate unilateral attempt to redraw Georgia's borders by force. In a visit to the Georgian capital, Tbilisi, he insisted that former Soviet Republic would join NATO. Russia opposes that move. And U.S. stocks fell today amid growing concerns about the nation's economy. About at the half hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 305 points. The slump in stocks followed an unexpected jump in the number of jobless claims. Details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow at Science Friday, Ira Flatow will be here with a look at the giant bluefin tuna. It's prized for sushi around the world, but are we eating it into extinction? New tracking technology may help us find out. Plus, surfing Google's new internet browser. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Last night, the GOP's surprise VP pick, Governor Sarah Palin, came out swinging in a speech that many Republicans are still cheering. Tonight, on the fourth and final night of the Republican National Convention, the main event, Senator John McCain accepts the presidential nomination and makes what may be the most important speech of his life. So tell us, what will you be listening for from John McCain tonight? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Ron Elving is NPR Senior Washington Editor. He joins us now from NPR's election headquarters at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. And Ron, always nice to have you on the program.
Good to be with you, Neil.
And what can you tell us about what we can be told to expect from John McCain tonight?
John McCain has already done one of the main things he wants to do with this convention, and that is to change the way people think about John McCain. He has made a surprise pick for vice president. She's a hit here at the convention and in St. Paul and among Republicans generally. So he has people thinking differently about him and how he goes about making decisions. And that, of course, extends out to a lot of independent voters and people who may be trying to decide whether or not they think John McCain is mostly a man of the past or whether he is capable of being a man of the future. So he's already done that, but what he needs to do tonight is the other half, if you will, of the challenge, and that is to get the convention focused back on him. After all, he's the man. He's the guy. He's the one who's supposed to be at the top of the ticket and becoming president of the United States. And this has been such a Sarah Palin show from beginning to end that he really needs to get us all back focused on him.
And it's going to be a tough act to follow. We're just seeing news that more than 37 million Americans tuned in to watch Sarah Palin last night. That's just shy of the, I think, 38 million who watched Barack Obama last week in Denver. So, again, what we're seeing this year is unprecedented interest around the country in the political process.
And primarily in the new parts of it, too, Neil. People want to see the new faces. They want to see these people who are putting themselves forward as representatives of change, symbols of change. So John McCain needs to hold with a little bit of that mojo tonight. He needs to be a change guy. He needs to talk about his independent side, his maverick side. And, you know, we've seen it at the convention. We saw it with the pulling back on the first night and not having the president come here, and then on the second night having the president speak just briefly by video conference and not in prime time. They've really pushed away the last 8 years. They don't talk about the Bush presidency. They do talk about Republican orthodoxy a lot, and we do hear a lot of ideology that we have heard for many years from the Republicans, and they're still pretty much using many of the same language formulations that we've heard over the last 30 years, certainly throughout the Reagan era and since. So it's not as though they've broken away from the past, but they have pushed away the Bush presidency, I think, rather effectively. And John McCain is going to try to perfect that tonight and give us a sense of a new party that is all about a kind of reformist zeal and a John McCain who is his own man and the kind of John McCain who would break away from all precedent and choose Sarah Palin to be his vice president.
Well, if those are his strong points, what are his weak points, the things that he might stay away from?
You just mentioned a moment ago what's happening on the markets today, in the markets today. The new job figures are quite discouraging. The economic news is rather dismal. We have a series of hurricanes coming up the coast in the wake of Gustav, which, thank goodness, was not any worse than it was. We don't really know what exactly is happening over in Iran and with this incursion into Pakistan. We have the vice president in Georgia promising these folks that we're going to protect them in some way, although there doesn't seem to be any military commitment to do so. We have the ongoing uncertainty about what the situation is in Iraq. The general run of issues is not positive to the party in the White House. And that has been the case all year long and even longer, but it is intensifying just now as we head into the final weeks of the campaign. So the big challenge that John McCain and the Republicans have is that they're bucking history. No president's party has had an incumbent in office as unpopular as George W. Bush is today and been able to hand off the presidency from that unpopular incumbent to a successor of his own party.
And one thing you talked about, John McCain and certainly Sarah Palin last night talking about change, you cannot help but notice the audience in the room as you panned around, the cameras panned around the Democratic National Convention in Denver, and as they pan around the XL Center there in St. Paul, Minnesota, these audiences look very, very different.
Well, they couldn't look more different, I suppose, in many respects, too, in the way they're dressed, the age groupings, but particularly, of course, race. I mean, we had in Denver a convention delegation from just about every state. That reflects the full diversity of the country. The Democrats enforce that. They say you must send so many people of this group and that group. You must split equally between the genders and so on, so that when you see them on the floor, if they look like everybody, they kind of have to because that's a numerical requirement. The Republicans are not nearly so devoted to that, not nearly so prioritizing of that. And the people that you see tend to be rather well-dressed, and they tend to be Anglos. They tend to be Anglo-whites. Now, there are many Hispanics. There are some blacks, dramatically fewer than there were the last couple of Republican conventions. And this is a somewhat more homogeneous crowd for reasons that are probably pretty obvious. There's a lot of enthusiasm among African Americans, even independent and Republican ones this year, for Barack Obama.
Ron Elving, I know you're going to have an interesting evening. Thanks very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
My pleasure, Neil.
Ron Elving is NPR Senior Washington Editor with us from NPR's election headquarters at the Republican National Convention in St. Paul. And by the way, you can listen to live coverage of that convention's proceedings on many of these NPR public stations and online at npr.org. After Senator McCain finishes, we'll also be back to hear your response to what he had to say on an NPR election call-in special. So stay tuned for that again on many of these NPR stations and at npr.org. But right now, we'd like to hear what you want to hear. You'd be interested to hear from Senator McCain tonight. And let's begin with Susan. Susan's calling us from San Antonio in Texas.
Yes, I'd like to hear about our border security and the illegal immigration problem.
Senator McCain, as you probably know, sponsored the immigration reform bill that failed in the last session of Congress. Did you want to hear him talk about that or about securing the border first?
Well, I think we have to secure our border before we can have controlled illegal immigration, because I think if he changes his position back to wanting to get what people want to say about the illegal immigration, I think we'll just have people pouring over our borders. Until we control them, we can't stop it.
And that's the primary thing you're going to be listening for tonight?
Yes.
All right, Susan. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go now to Jerry. Jerry's calling us from Madison in Connecticut.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking me on the show.
Go ahead, please.
I'm a Republican. I had been a fan of, McCain for a while. I was kind of turned off in listening to what was going on about his history in voting on veterans' benefits. I enlisted during Vietnam. I put in a good time, an honorable discharge, and I don't go to the VA because I know there's kids coming back that need the help more than I do, but I would sure like to get there someday, and I would like to see him improve the benefits.
There was a recent bill proposed by the Democrats that would have extended something much more like the GI Bill from World War II days, and Senator McCain was, I think his basic argument was that he's certainly not opposed to veterans' benefits, but he said it did not encourage people enough to stay in the service. They would have gotten those benefits after just 3 or 4 years in service, and that he said it ought to encourage people to stay in a little longer before they could collect those benefits.
Oh, well, you still get the bullets still work when you've only been in for 3 years, and you still take a lot of chances and you still make a lot of sacrifices after 3 or 4 years. I was only in for 4, and I considered it a fairly exciting time.
Okay. And you would expect, though, veterans, John McCain being one of their own, of course, 5 years as a prisoner of war in Vietnam, veterans would be a group heavily in support of John McCain.
I would imagine, sure. And I would also imagine a veteran like John McCain to be more supportive of his fellow veterans.
Jerry, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get Bill on the line. And Bill is calling us from Rochester in New York.
Yes. Thank you for answering my call.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
And things we want to hear, or wish we could hear, not what we're going to hear. We're going to hear rhetoric again, I suppose. But what I'd like to hear is a way to get out of foreign oil. Our dependency on it would be, what, like geothermal heating, you know, electricity, hydroelectric stuff, or steam, and not solar. Solar, like we have gigawatts in the desert now. And then wind. And up to state New York here, we're doing a lot of wind.
Senator McCain has a lot of those wind turbines in his commercials. Nevertheless,
well, that's good, but, you know, we need a cryogenic grid, too. Have you heard of that?
A cryogenic grid?
Mm-hmm. We have that in Albany.
That's something extremely cold, I take it.
Oh, yes, but it makes the electricity flow with less resistance.
I understand. But Senator McCain's primary message through the campaign has been drill here, drill now.
Yeah, that's good, but American oil is good. But how much do we, you know, import? A lot.
About 20 million barrels a day, something
really?
Like that. Yeah.
We could do a lot less. I think probably nothing in 10 years, I would say.
That's quite an ambitious goal.
If we did it, one could do it. Solar alone in the desert. We get gigawatts now. And we have a cryogenic grid, but get it to other places with less resistance. And it's negative 1 million, positive 1 million. That's 2 million volts, correct?
It is.
And then on our grid lines on above the air, only a million.
When you say foreign oil, our biggest supplier of oil is, of course, Canada.
Well, that's really not, it's not in the United States, is it?
No, it's not. But
they do sand, and they do the, you know, the little wire through the sand to get the sulfur out. So.
The tar sands in Athabasca, yes. All right, Bill, thanks very much for the call. All right, appreciate it. We're talking with listeners about what they're interested in hearing in from St. Paul tonight when John McCain accepts the Republican National Convention's nomination for President of the United States. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email we have from Stephen in Jacksonville in Florida. I hope Senator McCain will put the country first and deliver a much more positive message to the American people than his counterparts have this week. I'm beginning to worry the Republican strategy this year has suddenly reverted into an attempt to resume the culture wars of the late 80s and early 90s. I've seen that before. It didn't impress me then. I'm not interested in seeing it again. While such a project might energize the Republican base, I do believe independents like myself would be put off by such a tactic. I would like to see McCain discuss the issues and take the high road as leaders of both of the parties. Both candidates, McCain and Obama, should be doing all they can to elevate political discourse in this country. Let's go to Elise. Elise with us from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi. I am an independent voter. I am a young student, and I watched Obama's acceptance speech the other night, and I would like to hear from McCain similar to what Obama said about common sense politics, about getting away from the partisanism that we have currently going on and getting back to agreeing on certain issues. For example, he talked about unwanted pregnancies, getting back to, okay, we have different views on abortion, but can we come to some agreement about, you know, we want less unwanted pregnancies in our nation? I want to hear similar things from McCain, and I think that sort of politics is what we need to get back to in our country.
Senator McCain has a tradition, a history of working across the aisle. He worked with Senator Kennedy, for example, on some bills, and worked most notably, I guess people remember, Russ Feingold on campaign reform.
Yes, this is true, and I want to hear more of how he will go about doing these things. Given right now we are so split with focusing on the personalities of our candidates and their personal lives and all these very specific things, I want to hear about, suppose McCain is elected, we're going to have across the board, you know, a lot of disparity and difficulties, I would think, in being able to get agreements because we're going to have such a close match. And so I would like to hear about, if he is elected, how is he going to work to push America forward and not just, you know, become a lame duck president where nothing can get done.
Elise, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Good night. Let's go to Ben, and Ben's calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes, hi. I would like to hear more about how McCain intends to shore up the economy and what he intends to do to shore up consumer confidence in particular. I mean, I'm at the ripe old age of 30, but I do lean Republican, and I have every intention of voting for him. However, I think the most important thing in the end is going to be whether or not, you know, how we all do economically when making the decision.
What have you heard from him so far that encourages or discourages you?
Well, I think he's got a lot of experience in getting things done, and also, like your previous caller had said, you know, working across the aisle to get things approved. And I'm excited about that. And I think because he's, you know, arguably one of the most powerful senators in the U.S., I think he has the relationships there. You know, you had mentioned before with Senator Kennedy and some of the others to push reform through. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Ben, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
Let's see if we can go now to Dixon. And Dixon's with us from Rockford in Michigan.
Yes, hello.
Hi there. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like to hear Senator McCain return to straight talk and address the $10 trillion federal debt and explain to us how we used to have pay-to-go and now we have tax cuts that we really can't afford.
Pay-as-you-go, I think is what you're referring to.
Pay-as-you-go. Whatever happened to that? Whatever happened to the straight talk about pay-as-you-go and how we can afford to have some 600 military bases all over the world and tax cuts and pretend like we don't have a serious federal debt.
What scares you about the debt?
Well, I think everybody can afford to pay a little more in taxes, some of us way more than others, to address the debt we're leaving our grandchildren.
All right, Dixon. Thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
And let's see if we get one last caller in, and this is James. James with us from Wichita, Kansas.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to hear talk about the trouble spots, like China and its power over Korea, the vice president being in Georgia today giving military aid, the fact that Russia's target might be the Ukraine, just in Africa, China wanting all the resources in Africa and actually reaching out to South America. We've got a real vegetable soup of problems. I'd like him to address some of those world issues.
I think Vice President Cheney was talking about economic and humanitarian aid, not military aid, at least not at this juncture.
Well, we'll wait and see, because we know how he did. I don't know. I think he did something in Iraq that was sort of his own personal agenda, just my opinion.
All right. James, thanks very much for the call. And you're going to be listening tonight?
Yes, but I don't think I'll see Cheney.
I suspect not. No, he is in Georgia tonight, and we're not talking about Atlanta.
I think they were very smart to send him to the other side of the world.
Appreciate the phone call, James.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
And another reminder that you can listen to live coverage of NPR's coverage of the Republican National Convention on many of these public radio stations tonight, and afterwards a call-in show to give your reaction to what Senator McCain actually did have to say. And that's, again, you can listen also on npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. Ira Flatow's here tomorrow. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.